Okay, tonight, I want to speak about confidence. There's a couple different types of confidence that we have. We have a self-confidence, and there's a godly confidence. A God-fidence, if you will. So let's set the table here. Godly confidence is a deep trust in God's plan and power. And rather than reliant solely on one's abilities, is rooted in faith, not ego, and involves believing that God has equipped you for what you need to do. This confidence is not about boasting in oneself, but rather in God and His work. Amen. This teaching is called Gaining Godly Confidence. Amen. Now the self-confidence, the trinity of me, the self-confidence is a belief in one's own abilities that I can do it. It's all about me. It was my power, my this, my that. Amen? And the godly confidence is a belief rooted in God's power and promises, leading to trust in his provision and purpose. Amen? Self-confidence can be fragile. It can fluctuate with circumstances and achievements. Whereas godly confidence remains steadfast, drawing strength from relationship with God. Self-confidence often leads to arrogance, leads to pride, which comes through a fall, and is often self-reliant and compares itself to one another, because you're always trying to better yourself to look at other people. And that's what self-confidence does, and it also puffs you up. Now, godly confidence, God-fidence, focuses on God's character, power, and promises, which provides a stable foundation for life, even through the challenges of life, even the trials and tribulations of this world. Knowing that He's going to get you through it no matter what. It's based on humility and dependence on God and for His glory. Everything we do for be His glory now, since He rescued our butts, man. Everything's for His glory. Everything we do is for the glory of God. Now, self-confidence is about what you can do. What you can do. What I can do. Me. It's all about that. Now, godly confidence is about what God can do through you. Because now we're back to the point of, you know what? God, I'm your vessel. You know, what can I do for you? That's what it's about. That's what we're about. That's what Christians are supposed to do, right? Amen. Now, godly confidence proves it's giving glory back to God for all the strength and abilities while completely trusting in God's power and guidance. Are you trusting through all your trials and tribulations with the confidence knowing that He's going to get you through, and it's not you that's getting through it? Because I don't know about y'all, but I tried many times of myself getting through it, and I fell on my face many times. It might have seemed okay for a couple minutes, a couple days, or not, but eventually I fell on my face, and I ate some serious dirt. Amen? So with that being said, let's go to Ephesians 3, please. Ephesians 3, 8 through 13. It says, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask that you not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." Through faith in Christ, believers have boldness and access to God with confidence. It all starts with faith. Everything's wrapped around confidence with faith. Where does your faith stand? Amen? Forever attached in the heavenlies. It's a constant action. Where's your faith at? Where's your faith at? And you'll see your confidence. Amen? Let's go to, since we're in Ephesians, let's jump down to Ephesians 2 real quick, please. It's not very far. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of the works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which prepared beforehand, we should walk in them. We gain godly confidence through the salvation, which is the gift received through faith, not through human effort or works. It's not we ourselves that saves us. It's God that saves us through grace. It all starts with the faith that goes to the grace. Grace is what? The plan of escape. Yeah, he's always going to give his children a plan of escape. Now, are you confident? Are you godly confident enough to know that what that plan is? Or are you turning to self-confidence and saying, I got this. It's all about me. I mean, it's one thing we always got to look in the mirror. It's a constant battle. Because, man, that old man's always there. It's as much as you want to put it away. I mean, I know my old man is my worst enemy. There's plenty of enemies out there, but that's one of my worst enemies is self. So watch the self-confidence. It boasts. It puffs you up. And like I said, the godly confidence is where you become humble. It's based on humility. And knowing that you get everything you get is from God. The grace, the rescue is coming from the Lord. Amen. Psalm 139, 13 through 16 we're going to read. For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance before it yet even unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Hallelujah. We are his workmanship. There's confidence in knowing who we are and who we belong to. Amen? When we realize God's profound knowledge and involvement in our lives from day one to the last day of our lives, that should bring a sense of awe and comfort and confidence and all that. Because he formed us. He made us. There's a confidence in knowing who you are and what you belong to. We're for a greater cause. It's not about the me, myself, and I type thing. It's about what can we do to expand the kingdom? What can I do to get out of my way for God to work through me? Because he formed us. That's what we're meant to do. Amen? That's where the confidence comes in, knowing that we were made through him, by him, for him, to do his will, not our will. As then, you know, adding that, man, that's a tough one, too. That's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, man, because the world's always constantly trying to battle you, saying, well, you got to do this, you can do this, you can do that. Well, you know, what does God say? Amen. What does this right here say? I mean, because, you know, there's like a thousand different reasons why we're not supposed to love the world. But we're supposed to still love the things in the world. So that kind of makes it difficult. We've got to pay attention to where our heart is. What is that we're thinking about? And are we doing it for God's will, or are we doing it for self-will? And that brings the confidence of self-confidence or godly confidence. Amen. Let's, since we're in Psalms, let's go to Psalm 119. Start at verse 1. We're going to read the whole thing. Yeah, Psalm 119, verse 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. For my tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are in righteousness. Hallelujah. Confidence through his word. He made us. He gives us life. but there's confidence in reading. All the confidence we need is right in this book. The more we read this book, the more confidence we're going to gain through him and in him, because this is his word. We speak daily confessions in the morning. Look at your prayer book. The daily confessions we read, that is not only is building up your faith, but it's building up your godly confidence in him. Because you're speaking life, you're speaking good things, you're speaking his word. Everything in his word is true. And the more you speak it, the more confidence you're going to gain to speak it so you can teach others about it, right? The more you practice something, the better you get at something, correct? Amen. So it's really important you stay in the word to be confident so you can go out, man, because you can't go out and you know, do stuff if you don't know anything about it. You're going to sit there, you're going to be, duh, 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 duh. You can do the scripture, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Doesn't mean that you're going to, because you don't know how to do stuff. But you're going to get the wisdom and knowledge and understanding to take a step back to learn how to do it. But, you know, point blank is that you're not going to, I was telling my sister the other day, I was like, I'm not going to go and do brain surgery just because I've read that scripture. Right? There's a discernment about that, correct? Not saying I couldn't do it without proper training. Because I think, you know, everybody's possible doing anything, but it all starts with speaking the words, the positivity of the words, and knowing that no matter what, he's gonna make you through it, because he's our dad. That's what he's supposed to do. That's his job. We're gonna go through because that's how we learn. But the confidence comes through speaking his word, knowing the word, so you can spread the word with confidence. Amen. All right. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, please. 6:18 is a quick scripture. Okay, 6:18, it says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Right there it says in the word. I mean, right here, because do you believe this is true? Yeah, so what is that? What's the word saying? Yeah, I mean, he's our dad. So, I mean, there's confidence in knowing who we belong to, he made us. I mean, we're king's kids. I mean, but there's not an arrogance about it. There's a humility about it. There's a difference. You know, get in your prayer closet and pray about it. Make sure that you're doing stuff for the kingdom and not for self. It's a fine line, because it's not hard to get back in that self-confident mode. That brings up arrogance, brings up pride, and puffs you up. So make sure everything you do be for the glory of God, because I don't know about you, but he rescued my butt. I should have been dead. I mean, I remember being in a really dark spot with a knife in my hand ready to be done. I cried out, man, and he answered. Hallelujah. I mean, it was still painful to go through the consequences of the stupidness that I did, but he restored me fully. He restored my families. Man, it's amazing what the Lord has done. So that's the least I can do. Is spread the word of his love of what he's about and who we belong to and who we are. There's confidence in that. Amen? Oh, yeah, I don't know where that one came from. Praise God. Okay. Let's go to... Oh, okay. Okay, this is a good one. Let's go to Numbers. Book of Numbers. We're going to talk about Joshua and Caleb. Numbers 13. I'm going to read verse 1. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Okay, stop there. I'm not going to read all their names, because y'all are going to get all goofy on me because I'm trying to pronounce all this stuff. I'm not going to be able to. So, but the short story, you know, get back to the thing. It was Joshua and Caleb and 10 other guys that Moses sent out to the land of Canaan to spy, okay? So, that being said, not saying anybody else's names, because Joshua and Caleb is pretty easy to pronounce, right? Okay, so let's go to verse 17. It says, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether land is rich or poor, or whether they are forced there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, and Ahiman, Shisha, and then Talmai, the descendants of Anak, which are, these are Nephilims, okay? Amen. And they came down to the valley of Eshel, and they came, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshel, because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there, and they returned from the spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where, as you sent us, it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak, therefore, there in the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, if we are able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and were like grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were in their own sight." So 12 men went out to scout the land, and only 2 men, Caleb and Joshua, came back full of confidence, knowing that Moses, the Lord spoke to Moses. Moses told the guys, "Go out to this land." Know that they had complete backing. With full confidence going, they went in there and saying, "Look, man, let's go back. Let's go take it right now. Man, we got this. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it." And the other 10 guys, what, they were fearful. All they could think of was how large these Nephilim were and everything else. They couldn't think of the greatness of God and all the wonderful things that God's doing is already done. Think about for the prior parts of the book, all the miracles, signs, and wonders that God was already doing in their lives. And they couldn't see that. All they only could see was the fear of, and the fear, it nullifies the confidence. But Joshua and Caleb, they said, "Let's do it, man. We're confident. But God's got our back. We're going to kick these guys' butt." Amen. Now, this is a great read. We're not going to go any further. But if you ever get a chance to even read the rest of this, man, the other 10 dudes, man, he wouldn't let them back in the land. They cursed him and everything else. He let Joshua and Caleb back in the land. So, if you get a chance to read Numbers 14, it explains it more. But it's a wonderful story of confidence and everything else. But the Lord, when the Lord says something, you better do it, because it's going to come back at you. But I think it's pretty cool how these guys just came back and they're like, "Man, it doesn't matter how big these guys were, no matter what, God had us. Just, we got this. Let's go right now. Let's go take this land." And that's the confidence we needed to go in, knowing that Dad's got us. Is it going to be a battle? Yeah. Yeah. Is there going to be some bloodshed here and there? Sure. But you know what? At the end, who's got our back? Boom. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Proverbs 3:5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Lean not on your understanding builds confidence. It builds confidence through trust. Trust is another big thing when it comes to confidence. You trust the Lord and everything that you're doing. Are you putting everything before him, knowing that even though you don't know the proper way and not sure, like, "Well, I don't know which way to go," and the Lord's pointing it that way, are you going to go with the full confidence saying, "You know what? God's got me"? Are you going to be wise in your own eyes and go the other way? About the self-confidence, there's a big difference. Because it's a constant look in the mirror of what confidence are we showing today. Is it one of self, one of God? Is it the God-fidence? Amen? And that scripture, And we read it a lot. Everybody brings it up and everything. But that's probably one of the truest scriptures that we have in this Bible, man. I mean, because it says, right, trust with all your heart. Not with half of it, all of it. And my understanding, man, my mind goes a gazillion miles an hour. And I can't understand myself sometimes. So I can't understand what sometimes I'm thinking. So, and sometimes I'm way off base all the times, man. So I just trust, take a step back, think about it, and don't make any, you know, reactions. I think about it, and it comes to you. When you pray it out. And the answer usually comes to you. And a lot of times it's not the answer you want, but it's the answer that's better for you in the long run. Amen. So look in the mirror and say, man, it's you giving them your whole heart. Give it to them to build that confidence. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to, all right, let's go to 2 Kings, please. Do you have the confidence knowing that if you go outside, you're going to get wet? Yeah. Is it now, do you have that same confidence knowing that God's got your back? Simple question, but that's a good food for thought. I mean, you're 100% confident in that, right? I mean, hallelujah. Where did I say? We're going to 2 Kings. That's right. 2 Kings 6. Hallelujah. I'm going to read verses 8 through 18. 2 Kings 6, 8 through 18. Amen, everybody there? It says, now, the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such a place, and the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place to which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is the king for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, that he may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And a servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open up his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people and pray with blindness. And he struck them with the blindness according to the word of Elisha. Hallelujah. Elisha was backed by angels. We gain godly confidence by knowing we are backed by heaven. And do we honestly believe we're backed by heaven? Everything that we do. When you're reading Psalm 91 in the morning, man, are you picturing the angels out there ready to be released? Okay, listen to this. You don't have to go there, but Revelation 5:11. This is John seeing the vision in heaven. John wrote the book of Revelation. He said what he seen was 10,000s times 10,000s, thousands upon thousands. Okay, I'm pretty decent at math. 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. Now, close your eyes real quick. Everybody, close your eyes and picture if you can see 100 million angels. 100 million. It's kind of unfathomable, isn't it? I'm not even thinking about the thousands upon thousands because that's just extra stuff. So when you guys are praying with confidently, know that there's that many angels that at least ready to work on our behalf. There's a confidence in that. I mean, when you guys pray, you got to know that and feel it through faith. Faith and trust. That's what starts the whole process. Amen. Because they're here. They're there waiting for us, you know, to say the command. So God say, go, 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 go. Man, that is 100% fact. You believe it. Are you confident in that? Because that's what's going to move the mountains, people. is the belief, is the knowing. Amen. I think that's a pretty cool number, man. 100 million, that's a lot. I mean, that's not really it. That's probably countless, because I don't think you can. I closed my eyes and thought about it. I don't think you can really see what 100 million really is. That's, because I usually just look around a football stadium, look at 80,000, like, oh, man, that's a lot, let alone 100 million. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, with that, know that you're backed by heaven. Not only backed by the Lord, but you got angels that camped around you all the time, man. That's why we speak Psalm 91. We speak them protection prayers. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why we intercede to release the angels. It has to be said on earth first. Amen? So let's go to Ephesians 6. So it's really good to know the enemies. I mean, when, you know what the enemy's ploy is. I mean, like playing football. If you know the offense is going to run the ball at the middle, you got a pretty good confidence that you're going to be able to stop it, right? So it's just like same thing as battling, being first strikers, man. If we know what we're battling, it makes it a lot easier. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of this darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand in the evil day, and have you done all to stand. Man, I just want to say something about what the world thinks the devil looks like, man. So, the devil, the world pictures the devil, a red guy, wearing horns, got teeth, has a pitchfork, looks kind of goofy, has a tail with the like a spear at the end of it, right? And he's down in heaven, in hell, waiting to, you know, poke at you. I mean, that is such crap. I mean, that's just foolishness. I mean, the truth is, man, the devil's cunning. He's the most beautiful creature that the Lord made. And if you think about this, of the 100 million angels that you've seen, a third of them, he suckered into going down to earth with them. So he's running to and fro, trying to figure out how he's going to steal, kill, and destroy you. That's his job. But through the confidence of God, knowing that he's got your back, he's our dad, you pray it out, we're going to get the tactics in advance. He's going to give it to us. Not saying we're not going to go through the battle, because we do go through the battle, but we're going to win that battle, because the battle's already won. We just got to work it out. So one of the keys to confidence is knowing, being that first striker, knowing that stuff's out there. There's dominions, there are principalities, and it states in what, Genesis 6, that what the Book of Enoch says, 200 angels went into the women, you know, and they had sex with women, and they had, you know, they had Nephilim, and think about that. They had babies that were giants, and this went on for generations after generations after generations. So there's no telling how many Nephilims there were before he flooded the earth. So we got demons that are against us, we got the fallen angels that are against us, and we got Satan running to and fro. So right there, we kind of know that we have to battle. But like I said, we wake up being that first striker. You know, don't wait for him to punch you. The confidence comes, you punch him first. You know it's coming, so you do it first, right? That's the confidence, knowing that heaven's got your back. Amen? Hallelujah. We gain confidence by knowing that we're up against and using the weapons. We come into this wonderful, fantastic place to get taught the weapons of God. We need to use those weapons. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of Jesus, the keys to binding and loosening, praise and worship. All this is battling against the dark forces, and you got to speak it out. We kick butt on the enemy to gain confidence, and as we use these tools, we grow in that. The more and more we use the tools of the blood, the word, and the binding and loosening, the better you get at it, the more intense it gets, and you start seeing things happening. There's nothing more confident when you pray something out and you see it happen a few days later, like, whoa, yeah, that's cool. I mean, right? I mean, you know, some of us might be Gideon. You know, I don't know if you guys know about the story of Gideon. Gideon always asked, they had the Spirit of the Lord right in front of him and kept asking for confirmation. You know, I guess once in a while it's not bad. You got to ask. You got to know what you got to know. But there's also a confidence knowing that when you're going to pray it out, that thing's going to happen. And upon our behalf, because the angels are being released. Amen? Let's go to Romans 8. We'll close here. Romans 8, 31 through 39 is what we're going to close with. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, it is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. The only thing that brings the unshakable godly confidence is the victory we have in Christ. That's not anything we can achieve by ourselves. Boasting about what we are able to do on our own will leads to a downfall. But when we boast about what we are able to do in spite of ourselves, God gets all the glory. His word tells us over and over again what our significance is in Jesus. As children of God, we have the Spirit living in us who equips us with direct access to the mind of Christ and his power. The one who lives in us is greater than one who lives in the world. We can cast out demons, heal the sick, prophesy over situations that are broken and dead, and speaking life into them, knowing without a doubt everything will come to pass and God will turn everything to good for his glory. Hallelujah. So, Father, we love you, bless you, Lord. Help us. Help us just die to ourself, Lord, each and every day, and get rid of that self-confidence, Lord. And help us gain that godly confidence through your faith and your trust, Lord, and your love, Papa. We thank you for teaching us, giving us the weapons to battle the enemy, Lord. And thank you for letting us know who the enemy we're fighting against, Papa. We thank you for this word. We ask, Lord, We ask that you be with everybody this evening, Lord, whether it's raining, whether it's sunny, whatever it's doing, just be with us and just be our dad tonight, Lord. We love you, bless you, in Jesus' name.